football on off the ball.
I think they can go and win it. They're a very, very difficult team to beat. They don't lose an awful lot of games. I think Morocco are better than Germany. I think people have said to me they fancy Germany as dark horses. People have said they fancy Ecuador, or I personally fancy Colombia as a bit of a dark horse. I think Morocco are ahead of all those teams.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
World Cup Daily on Off The Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Ireland find out their opponents for the World Cup playoffs later this year. England get their World Cup campaign off to a winning start, thanks to two goals from Harry Kane in a 4-2 win over Croatia. And Liverpool look set to make their first signing of the summer under new boss Andoni Iraola. But first, the draw for the 2027 World Cup playoffs took place in Nyon, Switzerland earlier today. Ireland were seeded for the draw and have been paired with Kazakhstan in the semi-finals of the playoffs. Carlo Ward's side will be away for the first leg on the 7th of October. The second leg will be at home a week later on the 13th. Kazakhstan are ranked 100th in the world and finished second in their group in League C. Kazakhstan were in a group of Belarus and Armenia. They beat both of those teams once and also drew with Armenia to finish on 7 points, 2 behind Belarus. If Ireland come through that tie, the girls in green would play either Belgium or Poland for a place at next summer's tournament in Brazil. Ireland beat Belgium over two legs in the Nations League relegation promotion playoff last year. It was 4-2 at the Aviva, and Ireland then lost 2-1 in Belgium in the second leg. But Abby Larkin's late goal secured a 5-4 aggregate win. Carlo Ward's side beat Poland in back-to-back games in April in their most recent group. It finished 3-2 in the away game on the 14th of April, and then 1-0 at the Aviva 4 days later. The playoff finals will take place at the end of November and the start of December. England opened their World Cup campaign with a 4-2 win over Croatia in Dallas last night. Captain Harry Kane scored twice in the first half. It was 2-2 at the break. Jude Bellingham and Marcus Rashford then scored in the second half. Martin Batarina and Petr Musa scored the goals for Croatia in the first half. England boss Thomas Tuchel says it was a great attacking display, but he admits there are areas in the performance to work on.
I love the second half, all of it. I love the reaction to a very complicated first half. We got a tough draw to start against Croatia. So the positives are clearly the ones where we focus on now and enjoy the moment, and we have enough days to adjust.
Harry Kane admits that Thomas Tuchel's halftime message spurred them on in the second half.
He just told us to let the shackles off, calm down. What are we scared of? Let's just go. Yeah, the way we conceded that second goal is not the team we want to be, dropping deep, waiting and then conceding anyway. So he kind of just said, what's the worst that can happen? We lose a match, first group game, we get on with it, we move on. Let's just go and show kind of the world who we can be.
Kane added he was happy to get off the mark after watching Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland and Lionel Messi all score in their opening games.
Yeah, obviously I saw the guys scoring their goals yesterday, and I don't like to concentrate too much on other people, but I think it's natural as a sportsman, as an athlete, to try and reach the highest levels, and obviously all those guys started in a great way.
Elsewhere in Group L, Ghana scored in the 95th minute to beat Panama 1-0 in Toronto. Caleb Yerenkai scored the only goal of the game. Ghana and England will meet next in Boston on Wednesday. Panama take on Croatia in Toronto. Cristiano Ronaldo failed to score yet again at the World Cup, with Portugal having to settle for a 1-1 draw with DR Congo in Houston. João Neves put Portugal ahead after only 6 minutes, but Newcastle striker Yohan Wissa equalised just before half-time. Ronaldo has now played at 6 World Cups and has scored 8 goals in total. His last in the tournament came against Ghana from the penalty spot in 2022. Elsewhere in Group K, World Cup debutants Uzbekistan were beaten 3-1 by Colombia in Mexico City. Crystal Palace defender Daniel Munoz scored the first. The man that set up that goal, Luis Diaz, got the second for Colombia. And World Cup Daily on Off The Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Tonight, the second round of games begin with Czech Republic up against South Africa in Atlanta in Group A. Kickoff is 5 o'clock, with both sides looking to bounce back from defeats in their opening matches. Mexico and South Korea meet in Guadalajara at 2 a.m. In Group B, all four sides drew in the first round of games. Switzerland take on Bosnia-Herzegovina at 8 in L.A. and then one of the co-hosts, Canada, faced Qatar in Vancouver from 11. Leo Messi announced himself at the tournament with a stunning hat-trick for Argentina in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Messi will be 39 next week and still reeling from his brilliance. Dion Fanning and Michael McCarthy discussed his genius on the football show last night.
One man who didn't have to run last night, I've mentioned him a couple of times so far. Look, me and you are too old to be staying up for 2 o'clock in the morning games in the middle of the week. We've got stuff to do. But at the same time, I woke up and I have to say, like, I was sort of jolted out of bed by the, you see the score line. First thing you check, obviously, how did Argentina get on? Are they going to be a disaster? Mm. You know, that's the thing. It starts off with a negative point of view. Then you see that they win 3-0. And then you see it's like, it's Messi's name and there's like three numbers beside it. None of them are even a penalty.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can't wait to dig into the highlights. I was just like jolted into awakeness. And it's like, I don't care how cynical we become. I don't care how even, when you look into Leo Messi's life even, you just sort of like, you know, he's not like outside of football, not that impressive a person. But it's just like, there is something about seeing the GOAT and the time of his lifespan being elongated into yet another World Cup here. It got me going today, I have to say.
Well, yeah, I would I know what you're saying about outside of football, but I think when your life inside of football is so incredible, when you've done what Messi has done and continues to do, then it rebuts all other arguments. I mean, we know all this, you know, the stuff that, you know, like the Saudi stuff and all this kind of stuff that is, but I think like he's just such a phenomenon, and it is so fascinating that he remains so compelling to watch in a way that you wouldn't think anyone would be compelling to watch when they're doing so little so much of the time, when they are observing.
And it's so just great to still be so excited by it as well. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know, maybe when he's gone, we'll find whoever it is that's next. And maybe it's going to be like a 31-year-old Kylian Mbappe or something at the next World Cup. But at the same time, like, it's like, while Messi is still there and while he's still relevant and he's doing things like this and he's not a shadow of himself, even though, like, physically or, you know, in terms of his speed or whatever he might be, but what he can still do with the ball, it's just, I don't know, I just don't think we can possibly move on from it. I think, like, the most excited I think I was before the World Cup in any way was, I think Ben sent me, like, the highlights of his cameo when he came off the bench after 70 minutes against Iceland. Mm. And it was just this, oh, my God, Messi is still Messi. You know, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait for this now.
Football writer John Bruin joined Ger Gilroy on Wednesday's Off the Ball Breakfast and said, despite all the problems that are happening in the US, performances like Messi's keep the eyes on the events on the pitch.
When Messi had that shot that was saved when he's going for his hat-trick and the camera cuts to a smiling Gianni.
Yes.
Just thought, oh, you've spoiled it again. You know, it's like, do we have to see this guy? And you can see the grin of like, oh, it's all coming together. If Messi does this, then the headlines move on from the issues of visas and players being searched on runways and, you know, referees not allowed and all the rest of it.
Isn't it
because
mad?
Messi scored, yeah.
Isn't it mad that the sport is sports washing itself?
Yes, that's very well put, yeah. And that is what is happening. It's you know, get the ball out and hope that something good happens so that we can just remember how good football is. And listen, we're not new to this. This has happened. This happened in Qatar. You know, because in Qatar, the lead into the discussion of the political issues and the, you know, issues of migrant workers and all that continued quite late into the tournament. Then you had that final, and you had some brilliant games like the, you know, Argentina, Netherlands, and suddenly it's all washed away. And weirdly enough, now, because of the various issues of this World Cup, people are reminiscing about how wonderful Qatar was as a World Cup. And but maybe that's what's going to happen here. But there are still issues that we can't and shouldn't ignore. But when Messi turns it on, and Messi defies gravity, essentially, by scoring a hat-trick at a pro... Is he 39 yet? I think he will be very soon. But, you know, this guy is just rewriting football history in front of our eyes. And you just think, OK, yeah, this is why we fell in love with the game.
Although Ireland aren't at this World Cup, Mick and Dion reflected on that Eamon Dunphy moment from the Ireland-Egypt game at Italia 90.
Now, I think the most remarkable thing about the Ireland-Egypt game is that we've had, as I very quick maths there, I think 13 games in World Cup history. And I guarantee we're the only country in the world that of our 13 games, one of them is more remembered for a pundit than what he did, than anything that happened on the pitch. Now, in fairness, probably because nothing happened on the pitch. But I was looking at some of this today, and there's some unbelievable, like Eamon Dunphy, the whole, we'll get to it in a few minutes, but the whole, like, what he did after the match and the rant and the cha, like, is very, very famous, and rightly so. But there's so much more to it. Like, we've actually dug out some stuff from half-time in the game. Here he is reflecting on the first half and what would end up being the nil-all draw with an Egyptian side that, let's just say, Eamon didn't rate too highly.
This isn't the Egypt. They're rubbish. They're like amateurs. We should beat them 6-0. That's the truth of the matter.
But and it doesn't look as if we will, though, does it?
We won't, but the point is this. We are giving them too much. We should be playing football the way these lads can play football. We haven't got... We have the option of having Ronnie Whelan and Liam Brady and David O'Leary on that pitch, and that will be 8-0. Now, we're not trying to play. It's rubbish. Anyone who sends a team out to play like that should be ashamed of themselves. And we give instances.
Strong words.
They are strong words because it's the truth.
At the time, and still, I was in the Eamon Dunphy camp. I agreed. Like,
even at the time,
I was a huge Ronnie Whelan fan.
Yeah.
Ronnie Whelan was like the player I kind of loved him above any other. And when he wasn't in the Ireland team, I felt like they weren't the same team.
Right. I suppose the most memorable moment of all, and this is the one that we all know, but I do think we should hear it after the full-time nil-all draw, pathetic nil-all draw was confirmed.
I felt embarrassed for soccer, embarrassed for the country, embarrassed for all the good players, for our great tradition in soccer. This has nothing to do with the players who played today. That's a good side. I feel embarrassed and ashamed of that performance. And we should be. We have everyone in the country has been let down. And they don't. Most people won't understand. You have to know the game a little bit or have played it a little bit. Like most guys who play amateur soccer and that. The Egyptians were terrible. They are terrible. England will do a job on them. Now, we should be ashamed of the way we went about the game. It was shameful and embarrassing.
Would you go as strongly as that about it?
John never goes as strongly as me on anything. But I'm thinking of men like him, Tommy Eglinton, all the great players we produced, Peter Farrells, the great football, the Liam Bradys, the Ronnie Whelans, the David O'Learys. This is a great football, and we produce players and go out and play that rubbish.
There goes the pen. You can actually, Arthur, I hope you boosted that, because that was really good. You could hear the pen going and the chat. But I like the way he went into the history books and then went, no, I got to stay on message. The three players I meant to talk about here are Liam Brady, Ronnie Whelan, David O'Leary. They're the only ones that matter. Tommy Eglinton and Peter Farrell. First names that came into his head, I suppose. Like great Irish footballers, I'm sure, but I don't know if they would have been the ones he was talking about as like the people who've waited all their lives for an Irish World Cup.
The thing that strikes me listening to that is... how good it is, like as a piece of theater, if you want to say piece of content, it's magnificent. Like that's the thing about it, is it is perfectly framed. It is, you know, it is an argument that, as I said, he's going to roll out in various different forums, but it is magnificent. Dunphy would reject the idea that it was anything other than journalism, but to me, it's also show business. Like,
of course, it is.
You know,
he'd nearly say that himself.
Well, I don't know if he was sometimes
showbiz baby. You know?
Yeah, well, sometimes he'd reject that too. But it was and you think about it, and you said there, Mick, like, you know, we qualified for first World Cup. It was our second ever World Cup match. The country is in. Like as I was saying, is just in this mood to party. They don't want anybody, even when this has gone wrong. They just want to be told, "Don't worry about that. Let's get on and like we'll do it again." And well, don't worry, you'll have your party. Like, you know, it's just been put off a couple of days. They don't want this stuff. And like, and Dunphy, for like, you know, first of all, as a piece of theatre, he's saying, "Well, no, I'm going to give you something else. I'm gonna hurt you now. I'm gonna make you angry right now." Mm. But also, he's actually saying, "Well, I'm not gonna go along with this mood." And that was his great role. That is like that's his great role in Irish life.
And if you want to hear any of that back, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Liverpool are set to sign Spain international winger Victor Muñoz from Osasuna after triggering his €40 million release clause. Newcastle were all set to bring in the 22-year-old, but Liverpool have won the race for his signature. Muñoz has completed his medical in the US after permission was granted by the Spanish Football Federation for him to undergo one while he was away with his country for the World Cup. He's agreed a 6-year deal at Anfield and will become Liverpool's first signing under new manager Andoni Iraola. Meanwhile, Real Madrid have confirmed the signing of Ibrahima Konate. The France internationals agreed a 4-year deal with Real and will join when his contract expires at Liverpool at the end of this month. Konate announced that he'd be leaving Anfield when his contract expired this summer after failing to reach an agreement on a new deal 5 years after joining the club. He joins Bernardo Silva and Marc Cucurella as Jose Mourinho's first signing since his return for a second spell at the Bernabeu. And Derek McInnes says he's convinced it's the right time to take on the prestigious role of Rangers manager. The former Hearts boss has agreed a 3-year deal with the Scottish Premiership club. McInnes replaces Danny Rowe, who left to join RB Salzburg after less than 8 months in charge at Ibrox. That's about all we have time for on today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.